will you find rock bands going up against jazz pianists, superheroes, and scheming women in beautiful dresses at the 2019 Oscars? And we're ready to run down the big contests.
That's right, we're going to talk actors, directors, and some of the most honored films of the year. We'll also make some predictions, so we might help you win your Oscars pool.
So let's jump right in. Here with me and Stephen in the studio is Glenn Weldon of NPR's Arts Desk. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, Linda.
And our fourth chair, as is traditional for this show, is NPR film critic Bob Mondello. Hi, Bob.
So glad to be here.
So we have actually done shows on all eight of the Best Picture nominees. That's Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favorite, Green Book, Roma, A Star is Born, and Vice. Bob, if you were choosing Best Picture from these eight, what would you choose?
Can I say anything but Green Book?
Yeah, you can.
I think I would choose The Favorite.
Yeah. You might remember that is the Scheming Women one, starring Olivia Colman and Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz. Glenn, what would you pick?
Of course, I'd pick The Favorite.
You
of course,
would pick The Favorite?
Of course, will win, should win. I don't know what a world's going to be like where I and the Oscars agree on what the best picture was of the year.
You think it's going to win?
I think so.
Wow.
Over Roma.
I mean, it happens, I guess, to you. You know, I turn 51. I'm going to start golfing next. I guess that's the next thing. But
happened to me with the album of the year for the Grammys.
Exactly, right?
Yeah, it did.
Brave New World.
Stephen, what would you pick as best picture?
I would pick The Favorite as my actual favorite movie of the year. As far as what will win, man, it seems like it's going to be Green Book, but I'm going to hold out a sliver of hope and say Roma.
No, I think it's going to be Roma because I think people have gotten over the idea that Netflix is a bad thing for the – well, actually, they haven't gotten over the idea that it's a bad thing for the industry, meaning exhibition and movie theaters, but they have started to realize that Netflix is spending so much money on movies that it's become a major player in movies, and they have to regard it as that.
Huh. Well, we'll get to it, but Roma is also up for Best Foreign Language Film. I think it's got an easier lock there.
Yes, a lock for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, and I actually would choose – I realized for Best Picture, I would choose Black Panther. And the reason for that is I think it advanced filmmaking in the way that films are seen by a lot of people. I think it's experimental in terms of not just because it was a black superhero, but because of the way that it explored those superhero ideas. I think it would be wonderful to see that win. I don't think it will. I think it'll. I also sort of tend to think it'll be Roma, although we're all ignoring the possibility that it will be either Green Book or Bohemian Rhapsody, which I think
deliberately
I think are entirely possible as well. But let's move on and talk a little bit about acting categories also. Let's talk about lead actress. We have Yalitza Aparicio in Roma, Glenn Close in The Wife, Olivia Colman in The Favorite, Lady Gaga in A Star is Born, and Melissa McCarthy in Can You Ever Forgive Me? We've had conversations about all these films except Can You Ever Forgive Me and The Wife. I spoke about Can You Ever Forgive Me after Toronto, I think, but I watched The Wife this weekend. It's based on a Meg Wolitzer book. It was better than I expected it to be based on what I had heard. And I do think Glenn Close, who's getting a lot of, you know, this is going to be her career award. It's really for all of this stuff, I think is richly deserving of it for this. I think that character who plays the wife of a Nobel-winning novelist, I think that character is so alive in the middle of this movie that, I don't know, had a lot of problems for me. Did you agree, Bob?
Yeah, I thought she was terrific, and I thought the movie was okay.
Yeah.
Which was a little frustrating. But, she really is terrific, and there are moments where she's just looking as someone else is saying something, and you think, okay, that's acting. That's what acting's all about.
Yeah, but the thing is, she has done precisely this, and she could do precisely this in her sleep, and I'm not convinced she didn't. I wasn't particularly
mean.
I don't agree with you at all.
Yeah, I wasn't particularly sold on this movie.
I think there's a specificity to the way that she conveys her. There's a scene where she and her husband are in the car with their son. And I think the way she handles that dynamic of the way she kind of organizes the emotional chaos of the family and the way she manages everybody, which you see several times. I absolutely, absolutely bought that. Stephen, do you have Glenn Close thoughts?
Yeah, I think she's terrific in a movie that felt very small. The movie itself kind of leads to a big reveal that I think we all saw coming 10,000 miles away. But at the same time, watching the amount of interior acting that she does is very impressive. I think she's great. I don't know if she'd be my pick for Best Actress, though.
What would be your pick?
I mean, I think this is an outstanding field of nominees. Yeah. There's really not one in here that I thought, why is that person there? I think Yalitza Aparicio is terrific in Roma. My probable favorite, I'm going to keep coming back to the favorite, a movie I really loved. I think Olivia Colman is so terrific. That Lady Gaga performance, it's easy to forget amid how much has revolved around that song, that she gave a terrific performance in an otherwise, I think, very flawed film. And Melissa McCarthy is great in Can You Ever Forgive Me, a movie that I think should have been nominated for Best Picture.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree. If you're not familiar with Can You Ever Forgive Me, it's about Melissa McCarthy plays a woman named Lee Israel, who was a writer herself. She kind of fell on hard times and became a literary forger. And Richard E. Grant, who's nominated in supporting actor, plays her old friend who kind of becomes her accomplice. It gives her, you know, we've talked a little bit about the fact that we're going to be reviewing Russian Doll. When we talk about that, we'll talk about Natasha Lyonne kind of getting to fly free. That's how I feel about Melissa McCarthy in this movie. I think she's getting to exercise really different muscles. Did you agree, Bob?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know how much this registers for Oscar voters, but I really want to hear Glenn Close's speech.
I think it does.
I based my pick on who was going to give the best speech. So Aparicio would be inspiring. Close would be stirring. She's already given a version of the speech. We've seen it. It's great. Gaga would be about 30% too big, but still a lot of fun to watch. McCarthy would be smart and classy, but I've seen Colman accept a BAFTA for The Favorite, and she is just charming as hell.
She is charming.
She can put a speech over. She stammers. She's awesome. It would make my night if she won.
Well, I agree that that is a loaded category with really no bad choices. So let's move on to actor in a leading role.
Bad choices. Lots of bad choices.
So the interesting thing about actor in a leading role is that, you know, all of these guys, except for Bradley Cooper in A Star is Born. So the nominees are Christian Bale in Vice playing Dick Cheney, Willem Dafoe in At Eternity's Gate playing Vincent van Gogh, Rami Malek in Bohemian Rhapsody playing Freddie Mercury, and Viggo Mortensen in Green Book playing Tony Lip, but a real guy. And so everybody in this category, except for Bradley Cooper, is playing a real person and in several cases went through physical kind of, I think Christian Bale is mostly acting with prosthetics. Not everybody agrees with me, but I do think so. And I found Rami Malek's prosthetic teeth very distracting. So you have a lot of kind of physical transformation. Bob, what would you pick as the performance that you liked the best?
I actually liked Christian Bale a lot in that performance, mostly because, I mean, it's funny. My husband said, well, he's doing Batman again, right? I mean, this crazy guy. But he's, I thought the performance was really nice inside the prosthetics and the fact of gaining all that weight.
Fair point. What about you, Glenn?
In my review of Bohemian Rhapsody, I called out Malek's performance as very sort of cat-like. But the farther I get away from it, the less I'm impressed, and I don't want him to win for talking through a retainer.
Yeah.
and, you know, I mean, At Eternity's Gate is a small little film. It is not the kind of grand, sweeping, epic storytelling you're expecting, it because Julian Schnabel, the director, uses a handheld camera, really makes the performance seem off-kilter, which is fitting for Van Gogh. He's been nominated, but Dafoe has never won. If we give him the Oldman, if we give him the career retrospective, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, just for this and the Florida Project a couple years ago,
absolutely.
I would go for it. I agree. I think At Eternity's Gate is not a great movie. I don't necessarily know that it'll stick with me that much, but I did admire what they were doing formally, and I think a lot of that is the interplay between Schnabel's directing and Dafoe's performance. I think those things fit together very well to try to get at what it is to be a painter and a painter with kind of an unquiet mind. How about you, Thompson?
Yeah, I think Dafoe is that movie. The rest of At Eternity's Gate is very artfully shot, a little boring.
There's a lot of walking through fields.
There's a lot of walking through fields, but I think Dafoe is electrifying in that film. I don't really have a sentimental favorite out of this field. I kind of lean toward the Christian Bale is just it's Gary Oldman in Darkest Hour. It is 60% prosthetics. It is a very impressive transformation, but I was not knocked out by the performance. Should win. I don't really have a dog in this fight. I'm going to say Rami Malek should. I think Christian Bale will.
All right. How about you, Bob? Should and will.
I think Rami Malek will and Christian Bale should.
All right. How about you, Glenn?
I think Dafoe should and Malek will.
Yeah. I think Bradley Cooper should and Bradley Cooper will. Boy, you talk about a crowded field. I also want to talk about these supporting roles. Amy Adams in Vice, she plays Dick Cheney's wife, Lynn Cheney. Maria de Tavira in Roma, who I think was kind of the surprise nominee to me, playing the mother of the family in Roma. Regina King in If Beale Street Could Talk, who doesn't love Regina King? Both Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz in The Favorite. I liked all these performances, to be honest, except, I mean, Weisz just left me cold on the whole. I love Amy Adams, but Weisz left me cold on the whole. I think of these, I would pick Regina King largely out of love for Regina King. You talk about somebody who I think deserves a career award. Do you have a pick for Should and Will, Bob, in this category?
I think she'll win, and she should. I think she's extraordinary in the picture, and she's doing a lot of different things in it. There are scenes that are purest comedy, where she's just a riot, and then, you know, she comes in and has that emotionally crammed scene in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
Yeah. How about you, Glenn? Should Will?
Yeah, I think Regina King will. I think Rachel Weisz should, of course, because
I get that.
She's amazing.
Because The Favorite.
Just
because
for the I think just for, as we talked about the film, the face covering that she wears at one point is just, that's a lot of look. How about you, Thompson?
Yeah, I don't think there's a bad choice here, though I'm not a big fan of Weisz. Boy, I cannot decide between King and Weisz in terms of should and will. I'm going to say that Regina King will win because of vote splitting on The Favorite. And I'm going to say Regina King should, because I think, if, for one thing, I mean, I mentioned Can You Ever Forgive Me, wishing it had been nominated for Best Picture. I wish If Beale Street Could Talk was nominated for Best Picture. I think it's a great film.
And I want to clarify, when you said you're not a big fan of Weisz, you meant Weisz the movie. And then when you said you like Weisz, that's Rachel Weisz. I just want to make sure we're being clear. And then we've got supporting actors as well. This is another one where I really like all these actors. You've got Mahershala Ali in Green Book, Adam Driver in BlacKkKlansman, Sam Elliott in A Star is Born, Richard E. Grant in Can You Ever Forgive Me, and Sam Rockwell in Weisz. I would say the same thing about Rockwell in Weisz that I would say about everybody else. It's an impersonation. I don't think there's much to the movie.
Right.
Talk to me, Thompson, what is your should will in this category?
Oh, man. My default position is if I love the movie and want to support the movie,
I get it.
I wind up saying that Richard E. Grant should win for Can You Ever Forgive Me? It's a delightful performance. I think Mahershala Ali will win for Green Book. He is certainly the best thing about that movie. Uh-huh. Yeah, there you go.
All right. How about you, Glenn?
Will and should Richard E. Grant.
Yeah.
If only because he is having a ball. He is just really enjoying Oscar season. He is delighted by everything, and I can't wait to see him up there accepting the statue.
I think he's one of those guys who people in Hollywood really like, which goes a long way. He's worked with a ton of people, done a ton of stuff. And I think, as Stephen said, the film really revolves so much around his performance and McCarthy's performance, and I think he's so touching in it as this kind of lonely man. But I also agree that Mahershala Ali will win. I agree with Stephen, just because I think that's where people are maybe going to get out their affection for Green Book, maybe in that way.
If he doesn't, it's not going to win Best Picture.
Yeah, no, that's true. How about you, Bob?
I think he's probably going to win. I have to confess, I have a real fondness this year for Adam Driver.
Yeah.
In BlacKkKlansman. Yeah. I thought he was just great in it. And there were moments that I was fearful for him in a picture that is largely comic as it's going along.
Yeah.
I thought he was great.
Yeah. I thought he was very good in that, too. And I do love Adam Driver. It's another actor I love. All right. We're going to take a break because we've still got a bunch of categories to cover. But we will be right back with more, including director and animated feature and some screenplay conversations. So come right back.
This message comes from NPR's sponsor, Zoom Video Communications. Video conferencing has changed the way we do business. Meet happy anytime, anywhere with Zoom, connecting team members across the globe. Imagine seeing up to 49 people on the screen at once in digital video. Share anything, a file, a video, a photo, via desktop, laptop, tablet, or mobile. Visit Zoom.us to set up your free account today. And meet happy with Zoom Video Communications, zoom.us.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from First Republic Bank. Grad school is hard. Landing a great job is hard. Refinancing your student loan debt doesn't have to be. First Republic makes it simple. They offer some of the lowest fixed rates in the country, and you can combine your loans into one simple monthly payment. First Republic's dedicated bankers are available to you whenever you need them, offering exceptional service throughout the loan process and beyond. Visit firstrepublic.com/SLR today.
Welcome back to Pop Culture Happy Hour. We are in the middle of our great big Oscars preview, running down the big categories and coming up with who we think should and will win. I want to move on to Best Director. The nominees here are Spike Lee for BlacKkKlansman, Pavel Pavlovsky for Cold War, Yorgos Lanthimos for The Favourite, Alfonso Cuarón for Roma, and Adam McKay for Vice. Bob, do you have strong feelings about this one?
I do. I think Alfonso Cuarón will win for Roma. I would love to see Spike Lee get it.
Yeah.
I thought as a career thing,
I was gonna
say, however
talk
you want to do
a career
it.
Award.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's terrific, and this is an amazing comeback film for him.
Yeah. How about you, Glenn?
Definitely Cuarón, I think, is going to win, which is why I think Roma is not going to win Best Picture. I think they're going to be shunting a lot of his attention earlier in the evening.
You think they're going to spread the awards around more?
Yeah. But obviously, it's the favorite. It's Yorgos Lanthimos because, I mean, I want it to win things it's not nominated for. So
yeah.
I want it to win whenever it can.
All right. How about you, Thompson?
Well, I want to put in a good word for Pavel Pavlovsky, who I think does a beautiful job with Cold War.
Yeah.
I think that is a really well-directed film.
Yeah, it's uncommon to see a Best Director nomination for a foreign film, you know, a foreign language film nominee. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there are two this year.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Bob, about Spike Lee in terms of a career award. I don't know if it should be for this film, which I think is pretty flawed. I agree Alfonso Cuarón is going to run away with this. I would have loved to have seen Ryan Coogler get nominated, mm-hmm. but my sentimental favorite absolutely is Yorgos Lanthimos, not just because I love The Favourite, but because I think it is a brilliantly directed film. I think it is a visually spectacular film full of great performances. That's really good directing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do agree that Cuarón is likely to win. I think I would probably pick him. I agree about Spike Lee's entire career and certainly the Academy's failure to recognize some of his best films, but I don't think this is one of his best films, so I have somewhat mixed feelings
about
that.
That's fair. And let me point out that what the Academy has not recognized this year also includes women directors.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I know I get on a high horse about Capernaum. Capernaum is directed by Nadine Lebecki, and it's an extraordinary picture, and she deserves to be nominated.
Yeah.
And Leave No Trace by Deborah Granik deserves to be nominated. And The Rider by Chloe Zhao.
Yeah.
You know, you could fill out this whole category with women, and they didn't nominate any,
yeah.
which is outrageous.
I agree with you, Bob Mondello. I will ride that high horse with you any day of the week. All right, so we're going to move on and talk a little bit about animated features. We've talked about some of these, but the nominees are Incredibles 2, Isle of Dogs. I didn't even know that was this year. I totally forgot that was this year. Mirai, Ralph Breaks the Internet, and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Glenn, I'm going to give you first shot at animated feature. I have a guess, but I want you to tell me what you think.
Will and should Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. It's just so good. It's probably like, it's the favorite, and that are my two favorite films of the year, so definitely. Mirai, did you guys see this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Mirai is a Japanese film about a three-year-old kid, I think, who becomes jealous of at the arrival of a new baby in the house. And it is effective at portraying the kid in question as a monster. I could not deal with this kid. And, of course, he learns empathy with some supernatural help over the course of the film. It's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. But, man, I could feel my tubes tying themselves as I watch this thing. Because, ugh, it's like, it's not a looming issue, but it's not. It's never going to happen now. Man, that was very effectively done.
Yeah.
I had a very similar reaction to this movie. And for me, it was a lot of parenting PTSD. Every time that kid screamed, I just cringed into myself.
Well, what are your feelings about this category in the whole?
I mean, I think Spider-Man's going to run away with it.
Yep.
Yeah. You think so, Bob?
It's a walk.
Yeah. I think so, too. I love that movie. Everybody should see that movie. It's one of the only movies I would ever recommend seeing in 3D.
Uh-huh.
I just think it's fantastic and wonderful. We're now going to move on to what we used to call the Glenn Weldon categories, which are the screenplay categories where Glenn has often said that his favorite films, including Coen Brothers, people like that, would often get their nominations in screenplay. Under adapted screenplay this year, we do have the Coen Brothers for The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. We also have the screenplays of BlacKkKlansman, Can You Ever Forgive Me, If Beale Street Could Talk, and A Star Is Born. It's kind of a weird, I think it's kind of a weird category because there are several movies here I really love. I really love Can You Ever Forgive Me, and I really love If Beale Street Could Talk. And for this one, I think I would ultimately go with Can You Ever Forgive Me? The screenplay is Nicole Holofcener and Jeff Witte. And also, I should mention, as Bob said earlier, there are a lot of women directors who weren't nominated. Mm-hmm. Mariel Heller, who directed this, is one of them while we're on the topic of it. But I think that would be my pick for adapted screenplay. Either one of those would make me happy, which means probably neither one of them will win. This is another one where I think you could see Black Klansman get its award.
Right.
But I'm going to pick Can You Ever Forgive Me just because my love is there. How about you, Bob?
I will save you on If Beale Street Could Talk by choosing that. I think I would love to see that win. And I think it's just gorgeous. And I think Black Klansman's going to take it.
The fact that Beale Street wasn't nominated for Best Picture makes my heart hurt.
Yeah. It's a very high bar to translate or to adapt the work of James Baldwin. His prose is gorgeous and mellifluous. But I do think, we didn't talk about The Ballad of Buster Scruggs on this show. I love it. It is wildly uneven because it is an anthology. Right. So, I mean, ironically, I'm not voting for the Coen brothers in this time. I think it's Can You Ever Forgive Me? Just to make the act of faking literary letters interesting, much less compelling. I think that it's got a lot going for it.
I think it also has like such empathy for her without overlooking that she's being dishonest and she's a criminal. Like, right. I think it has such incredible empathy for her.
A lazier version of this would make her even worse and sort of like comically servile.
Even worse or even better. Right, I mean, I think a lazier version could have gone either way. How about you, Stephen?
Yeah, I think Can You Ever Forgive Me is my sentimental pick for should win. I think will win. This is where Black Klansman gets its due.
Yeah, that's a tough one. And this one is tough, too. Original screenplay, The Favorite, First Reformed, Green Book, Roma, and Vice. I didn't personally care for Green Book or Vice. And I haven't seen First Reformed yet, if I'm being totally honest. But I think I would pick The Favorite here for sure. Some of you may feel I haven't been favorite-y enough. I would pick that. Bob, what would you pick in this category?
Well, for what it's worth, First Reformed is gorgeous, but it's mostly because of the performance, not so much because of
Ethan
the script.
Ethan Hawke.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. He's extraordinary in it. The script is okay. The Favorite, I think, is going to win and should win.
Yeah. How about you, Glenn?
Agreed.
Glenn,
you sure you don't want to talk about that?
Pro The Favorite. How about you, Stephen?
Yeah, I think of all the awards The Favorite should win, that script is so full of just chewy, delicious, just snappy, snappy dialogue. If The Favorite doesn't win here, that's probably where I will be maddest.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, I want to return quickly to the two categories that we covered recently, which are documentary feature and foreign language film. So the documentary feature nominees are Free Solo, Hale County This Morning, This Evening, Minding the Gap of Fathers and Sons, and RBG. I personally, I think I would pick Free Solo. If you haven't seen it, it's about a guy trying to free solo climb El Capitan in Yosemite, which means no ropes, no safety gear, just a guy scampering up the side of a mountain. Some of these are still on my list to see, but I'm going to pick Free Solo. I don't think it's going to win. I think Minding the Gap will win. If you don't know that one, Minding the Gap is a documentary about three sort of skate kids, and it follows them through their families and their for several years follows them as they have relationships, and it becomes kind of a film about domestic violence. I haven't seen it, and from what I have heard, should win. Bob, what do you think?
Well, I looked at the odds on this one just to see, and RBG and Free Solo are basically tied for first place in the eyes of observers. Now, who knows what that means for the actual awards. I think Free Solo is extraordinary. For heaven's sakes, 2 minutes of mountain at the beginning of the movie. That guy was terrifying me. To finally learn about his story was amazing.
Yeah.
I think it should win, and it will.
All right. How about you, Glenn?
As a technical feat, Free Solo is amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm docking at points because ultimately it's a very stupid thing to do. Such a stupid thing to do. So I cannot reward that kind of behavior.
I get it.
So it's Minding the Gap. I mean, that is just a incredibly well-constructed, sensitive, just loving movie about something I don't care about.
Yeah, you love that one too, Steve.
Yeah, I absolutely love Minding the Gap. I think Free Solo will win in part as a technical feat. It is also a very high-profile movie, so it's likely that a lot of the voters will have actually seen it. I would be thrilled if Minding the Gap won, though.
Yeah, all right. And foreign language film, we have Capernaum, we have Cold War, Never Look Away, Roma, and Shoplifters. We should say Capernaum is from Lebanon, Cold War from Poland, Never Look Away from Germany, Roma from Mexico, and Shoplifters from Japan. I agree with some of the earlier speculation. I think Roma will win in this category because I think it's going to get other stuff and because I like to spread awards around. I think I would pick Shoplifters in this category. Hmm. What do you think, Bob?
I would pick the other Children in Peril movie, which is Capernaum, which is, I have to say, it's the picture that most affected me this year.
Yeah, you, Bob, came out of Toronto already, really, talking up that film. Yeah. Glenn, what do you think?
I think will and should is Roma. It's going to sop up the awards early on in the evening. This is one of them.
Yeah, it feels like this is one of the biggest foregone conclusions. I suppose Cold War is kind of a dark horse because it's nominated in other categories, right, and there's clearly a lot of love for it. And I do think it's a terrific movie.
All right. Well, Stephen, you are our music guy.
Yes.
You might hear us introduce Stephen as being from NPR Music frequently. And so we want to turn to you for the categories of original song and score for what you want to say about those two things. The original song nominees are All the Stars from Black Panther. That's Kendrick Lamar and SZA. I'll Fight from RBG by Diane Warren, performed by Jennifer Hudson. The Place Where Lost Things Go from Mary Poppins Returns. That's a Mark Shaiman and Scott Whitman song. Shallow from A Star is Born. You might have heard that a few times. Lady Gaga, Mark Ronson, Anthony Rossomondo, Andrew Wyatt, and Benjamin Rice. And then When a Cowboy Trades His Spurs for Wings. And that's from the Ballad of Buster Scruggs by David Rawlings and Gillian Welch. Stephen, what are your feelings about these songs?
Well, Bob mentioned that you could put together an entire category of just women directors. Mm-hmm. You could put together a really terrific slate of nominees from shortlisted songs that didn't get nominated. Yeah. Mm. There are years when there are very, very few good songs for movies to choose from. Remember that year where there were two songs from The Muppets and then one other song?
Yeah.
And that was it? This is a really stacked field. And I'm amazed that there was a discussion about not having these songs performed on the Oscars when you look at just the star power of these songs. I think Shallow is an absolute runaway favorite to win. I think it is probably the biggest shoe-in of the night, but I do want to put in a good word for All the Stars from Black Panther, which is a fantastic song, but also I would be so delighted if somehow the stars opened up and When a Cowboy Trades His Spurs for Wings by the wonderful, wonderful David Rawlings and Gillian Welch, who are such just brilliant, charming, wonderful performers. They're going to perform this on stage at the Oscars. I cannot wait. But this is a very stacked field for one that is so heavily tilted toward one song.
Yeah. Well, we want to talk about score briefly as well. The nominees there are the scores from BlacKkKlansman, Black Panther, If Beale Street Could Talk, Isle of Dogs, and Mary Poppins Returns. That's a strange category in terms of scores. What do you think?
For me, it comes down to Black Panther by Ludwig Göransson. That is such a distinctive sounding movie because of that score. He has also had an amazing year. He has been all over the place and done a lot of great work. But I also, my favorite score, a score that I sit and listen to at my desk while I'm working, is Nicholas Britell's score for If Beale Street Could Talk. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He does more with kind of one note repeating in this hypnotic and evocative way. Watch the trailer for that movie and tell me that shouldn't win best score. Yeah. So either Ludwig Göransson or Nicholas Britell, I'll be thrilled. The other three are fine.
Yeah. All right. I want to do just one quick thing before we wrap up this conversation. I want to do one miscellaneous question, which is, what would be your happiest surprise? The thing where you say, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Stephen, can you think of a happy surprise?
Man. Well, I just mentioned Gillian Welch and David Rawlings. I just think they are so, so charming. I just want to see one of the shoo-ins upended.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I get that. Yeah. I always feel that way. How about you, Glenn?
Favorite sweep. That's the favorite sweep. Thanks everything.
I think the favorite has certainly swept your opinions in this episode. Bob, do you have a happy surprise?
Well, of course, you know, I would just love to see Capernaum win best foreign language film. It's so not going to happen. I would also like to see it come in under 3 hours.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I get that. That's not going to happen at all. I would say that even with all of the upsets that I have picked, Black Panther for Best Picture and all that stuff that I would love to see, my personal favorite would be Melissa McCarthy for Can You Ever Forgive Me? I think she's extraordinary in it. And I just want her to go on and do wonderful things. So that brings us to the end of our Oscar conversation. I want to hear what all of you think about what's going to win, what should win. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCHH or tweet us at PCHH. When we come back, it's going to be time to talk about what's making us happy this week. So come right back.
Support for NPR comes from Newman's Own Foundation, working to nourish the common good by donating all profits from Newman's Own food products to charitable organizations that seek to make the world a better place. More information is available at newmansownfoundation.org.
Amazon, Google, Facebook. Big companies are getting really big. Is that a problem? Listen to Planet Money's new series on big business, competition, and antitrust law in America. That's on Planet Money.
Welcome back to Pop Culture Happy Hour. It's time for our favorite segment of this week and every week. What is making us happy this week? Stephen Thompson, what is making you happy this week?
Well, in the middle of Oscars prep and in the middle of South by Southwest / Austin 100 prep, I recently took a 20-minute break to respond to an email I got about an EP from a band called Labrador. And I got this very, very nice note. The band is from Madison, Wisconsin, which is my hometown. And they're kind of like, eh, hometown, eh, check it out. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to give myself a 15 or 20 minute break from Austin 100 prep, Oscars prep, and listen to this little EP, 15, 20 minutes. It is described in her pitch as country shoegaze finger-picking meditations smothered in dreamy vocals on the insidious nature of patriarchy and how it destroys relationships.
Woof.
Nice.
Catnip. I gobbled it up. It's fantastic. It's so good. Let's actually hear a little bit of the song Everybody Wants to Know You. Okay, so that's Everybody Wants to Know You from the EP Tell Me About Your Dad, which is a terrific title. That's Labrador. You can hear their whole EP at labradortheband.bandcamp.com. I love it.
That is fantastic. I love it. All right, Glenn Weldon, what is making you happy this week?
The Pass is a 2016 film from the UK starring Russell Tovey and Arinze Kene. Two very fit young men. And this film is very schematic and stagey and a little overdetermined. It's about two young soccer players who are trying to go professional, and something happens when they share a room while they're doing soccer things. I don't know. And who cares? And it causes them to go in different directions in their lives. You can feel the screenplay, but the acting is really good. And Kenne and Tovey spend the first act just hanging around in their underwear.
Yeah.
So I put the thumb on the scale for this movie right there.
Sure.
So that's The Pass.
The Pass.
Streaming, I think, on Netflix and other places.
All right. Thank you very much, Glenn Weldon. Bob Mondello.
Well, you know, one of the things that made me think that maybe Netflix had a shot at getting Roma past everything was watching a movie. I have learned finally to listen to absolutely everything any NPR critic says. Andrew Lapin went nuts this past week over a film called Dear X, which was, it's a Taiwanese film on Netflix. Wonderful movie, really wonderful. And there's no way it would have gotten a distribution deal in the United States. So the fact that it's streaming is a wonderful opportunity. It is about a 14-year-old boy who has to deal with the fact that his father, who has just died, left his mother for another man, and trying to figure that out. It is an extraordinary film. It's really good. I think it's the best film I've seen so far this year.
Dear X.
Yep.
All right, on Netflix. Thank you very much, Bob Mondello. I recently read a novel called We Cast a Shadow, and it is by Maurice Carlos Ruffin. It is a sort of near future satire of race in America. It is about a black attorney who is raising a biracial son, and he is trying to figure out what to do about the fact that a procedure now exists that can transform the appearance of a black person or a biracial person into more like a white person. There's a whole medical field. So he has to figure out, is he going to try to do this for his son? If he does, where will he get the money? He has to make certain sacrifices. It then becomes an incredibly touching and moving family story. I did not anticipate at all where it was going. It's beautifully written. Again, it's called We Cast a Shadow. It's by Maurice Carlos Ruffin, and highly, highly recommended. And that is what is making me happy this week. One more thing before we go. Next week, we will be covering Netflix's show Russian Doll. We think it's terrific, and it's hard not to spoil. So we would love it if you caught up with the series. It's 8 half-hour episodes. Get yourself ready. It's going to be a fun conversation, and it's a really fun show. That brings us to the end of our show. You can find all of us on Twitter. You can find me at Linda Holmes. You can find Stephen at I Dislike Stephen. You can find Glenn at GH Weldon. And you can find Bob at Bob_Mondello. You can find our producer, Jessica Reedy, at Jessica_Reedy, and our producer emeritus and music director, Mike Katziff, at Mike Katziff, KATZIF. Mike's band, Hello Come In, provides our in and out music that you are waving your hands to right now. So thanks to all of you guys for being here.
Thank you.
Great to be.
And thanks to all of you for listening. For more of our writing and the lowdown on what's making us happy every week, please subscribe to our newsletter at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. We will see you all back here Monday morning for our Oscars wrap.